irrespective of that, let's allow them to tell you what they want. Would that treat the late karma next to me? Mother, Father.
Good morning, my name is Maurice Sahari Destroy. I'm member of parliament sitting in this portfolio from the ANC Northwest.
Morning, Hanif Hussain, member of parliament.
I'm Mark Watson, thank you.
You know, DJ, that the money they get, there's some money that comes from you that you give them, but most of the money comes from the other people, so we'll allow you to give them. We're interested in them, not you. Okay, Commissioner.
To remind you of first of all when I'm going out of the way. You've actually touched a very, you started in a very sad way in the sense that I also come from the rural area and I consider myself to be elite because I have the, at least an education and I never knew about the and you know in the rural areas you actually use the structures around you to actually get information. And people would ask me, what am I supposed to do about this problem? And I wouldn't know. So I agree with the chairperson that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of raising the awareness about the CCMD. But I will go to the presentation starting from slide number 2.
Maybe, ma'am, because
are you alone?
Yes, I am alone.
Oh, who are the other people that the faces that I'm seeing that I don't know?
Johannes.
Yeah.
you very much,
Commissioner, will allow you.
Okay, I would like to start with reminding the committee about the mandate of the CCOD.
You didn't tell us your rural area. Is it Western Cape or Eastern Cape, Limpopo?
My rural area. Oh, I actually, it's now KZN. It's called Ubuntu. That's where I come from. Okay. Okay. The mandate of the CCOD is actually to pay best benefits to active and ex-minors who have been certified to be sick from a lung-related disease as a result of the risk of that they have performed in the mine or specified way. Let's tell you about now, currently how we operate. We've got one national office which is currently based in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg. Our administration costs are funded by the National Department of Health. And we have been, for the past 6 to 8 years, been having persistent audit qualifications. And we've got what we call an inadequate organizational structure to support our mandate. And we only get, for the payment of benefits, we get only revenue from a levy. The money that we get from the Department of Health is actually to finance the pension. The benefits that we pay is pensioners, which is the money that comes from the Department of Health. The Eastern Cape project, which is a ring fence project, which is separate from the levy. And the one time benefit, which is for TB, first degree, and second degree. Just before I go to the strategy is actually standing on what I call four legs, which for me, it's things that need to happen for this strategy to actually to be successful. One of them being the amendment of the Act, the business process reengineering, corporate governance and risk management, and we need to capacitate the fund. On the amendment of the Act, why do we need to amend the Act? We need to amend the Act to make sure that the Act does not burden the current administrative processing of claims. Currently, the Act, as it stands, it requires a lot of requirements that we need to comply with so that we can actually comply with the Act. I'll use an example. If the mine does not pay by the 20th of the month, we have to levy the interest. And if they don't pay by 14 days after the 20th, we have to start levying penalties. That is very administrative in nature, and it requires like a platoon of people to actually make it happen. So we need to go back to the Act and see what are the intentions of this section. Is it really working for it to have it as it is in there? That is just as a way of an example. Then we need to make sure that the beneficiaries are paid appropriately. What I mean by that, I don't think it was the intention of the Act to say, let's pay these people a lump sum benefit and they go away. I think the intention of the Act was to recognize that these people can no longer work. We have to make sure that they have a source of income. If that is the case, we then need to go back and see that is paying them a lump sum appropriate, which in my mind, it is not appropriate. We should be able to pay them a sort of a pension that will sustain them for years when they are not free, not just a lump sum benefit which they will spend in a year and it's finished. We need to make sure that the governance around the fund is stricter by actually introducing the necessary committees to ensure that the proper governance improves our internal control environment as well. We need to also make sure that we reduce the burden on the state. What I mean by that is currently the administration costs are actually paid from the National Department of Health, which in my mind, it is money that could be channeled to other service delivery mandates of the National Department instead of it being channeled to us. And the CCOD can actually fund itself from its own money that they collect from the lending. We're talking about between MPOG and CCOD, for this year alone, we're talking about 36 million that we could have channel to other means, to other ways that the department will spend it instead of sending it as to MPOD and CCOD combined. Under business process re-engineering, we need a way to improve our revenue management. The only way we can do that, again, is to go back to our act, to make sure that we can control and minimize as possible who can contribute to make us more upload, and actually make sure that there's processes in place for us to collect the
sort of commissioners to interfere. Chairperson, kindly could the commissioner maybe not use a lot of abbreviations. The CCOD exists, we know, because we've read this, but the MB, what was, you know, just try, because now it's confusing and we're trying to make sense. Thanks.
Okay, I think that all I remember. MBOC is the Medical Bureau for Occupational Diseases. They actually do the first process that lead to us, who issue the certificate that we use to actually do process the hearing. So they are part of our process.
Perhaps Chair can explain at this stage that these are different sections within the department, which sometimes operate independently. And we actually intend bringing them together to achieve some sense of operational effectiveness. And as part of the structure, we will bring MBOD to be part of the CCOD so that they fall under one group.
Okay, then the next one would be to reduce the turnaround time in the settlement of claims. I mean, I know you had questions from some of the members to the minister about why is it taking so long to settle the claims. As we need to do our process re-engineering, we need to enhance our system so that we can actually make sure that our processes are shorter. And also, we need to amend the act so that the requirements of the act actually does not burden the processing of the claims themselves. On corporate governance and risk, I wanted to say that we need to enhance our internal control environment, improve the risk management with a focus on fraud. What you probably haven't heard before is the environment in which we operate in is actually very rife in terms of fraud. We get a lot of fraudulent claims. We get a lot of people who aren't the rightful claimants actually accessing the claimant's money. So there is a high risk of fraud in the whole process of CCLD. So that's how we need to improve the risk management and with a special focus on the fraud itself. And obviously to strengthen the corporate governance by capacitating the various committees. To be able to do this, we need to make sure that there are people that can actually make sure that we achieve this. We need to transform the culture and behaviors of staff to be pro-service delivery. I'm from predominantly a private sector, so I'm new in government, and I found something in government which is very strange and unique to government, where there is a sense of entitlement and a sense of recording presence instead of working. People come to us to record the presence. We need to change that. We need to change our focus. We need to be pro-service delivery. So we need to change the culture that our staff are working in, transforming. We need to make sure that the fund is capacitated with the right skilled people. We need to make sure that the necessary training is actually made available for the staff to be able to keep abreast with the changes. And we actually make sure that there is proper accountability throughout the structures of the organization. Can I now go to the strategy, which is...
An honourable member, historically the CCOD did not have a separate plan from the overall strategic plan of the department. But in this financial year, specifically and based on the recommendations of the and it is for that reason that she's presenting this today, so that you can also be aware that there's a separate strategy that we just bought. But this one she here. So you don't have a copy.
No. Okay. I see members seem to be shaking their heads in a direction that says they don't have the document.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the document, remember. No, I think if you would help us, DJ, and give us that one so that they can share. But it was sent to us. I remember I do have it in my office, but I forgot it. So we can say, and I'm sure it was sent even to the other members. We can say there's another one here. But, get it. Okay, continue.
Okay, I've kind of now thinking, because I've kind of prepared the presentation with the assumption that you've seen the document, hence I've passed on the main important aspects of the document.
No, what we're actually expecting you, we don't expect you to go through the whole document,
okay.
But I just give us a summary of what's going on, which I looked at this, and it's actually a summary, so this is quite
okay. Okay, I'll start with a vision. We are...
Only Uma Kenya was coming. Welcome, Uma Kenya. We know it's raining. You're not used to raining weather in Eastern Cape. So in Western Cape, there's a lot of raining weather. So we accept your apology for coming late.
Okay, we are trying to be an accessible and high-quality compensation system for occupationally acquired lung diseases. And our mission is in terms of the strengthening the health system's effectiveness with regards to our overall contribution to population welfare, defined and identified a need to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the compensation processes for the fund. Which you can see that links to the National Department of Health for priority outputs, especially the one that's highlighted in red, which is the strengthening health system effectiveness. Okay, and I'm now on the slide on the strategic outcome-oriented goals. The first one is we have to make sure that there is proper strategic leadership and management of the fund, so as to make sure that all the time we keep in line with what the mandate of the fund is supposed to be. And that is going to make sure that we've got effective governance over the fund. The second one is we plan to improve the relationships with our stakeholders, especially the mines, the committees, and all the other stakeholders that we work with, which we've never worked with so well in the past. The third one, which the chairperson has already alluded to, was the claimants need to be aware of the services that are rendered by the compensation commission, their rights in respect of these services, and the claim process and the claiming process, which we hope it will increase the number of claimants and also reduce the turnaround time of settling the claim. I will touch on this one, which is the enhancing the legislative provisions of the Act so as to improve our service delivery, which will at the end lead to streamlined service delivery processes. And also, which is very important because we deal with money, is to have improved financial management of the fund, effective revenue management, and also enhanced administrative management of the claim. Okay, then in the next slide, I'm taking the strategic objectives, and then again, it takes us to the strategic outcome, only as to how we're going to get there. Can I skip that? Because okay. Then in terms of our strategic objectives, I've listed the risks which is currently in place, which we think are actually going to stop us from achieving our strategic objectives. One of them being poor public perception of the fund. The next one being the qualified audit report, which we've had for the past 8 years. And number three is the inability to deliver an effective and efficient service due to lack of capacity and skills. Occurrence of fraud by mainly by collusion. Stakeholders not reaching consensus, especially when it comes to the amendments of the Act. Low staff morale, inadequate systems that require significant cash investment. Political influence and the declining interest rate, because we've got huge investments, so it's not in our favor to have declining interest rates. Then I move on to the APC. What I've done there in the plan performance, I've taken just one in each category, because you can understand that they, for each category there is more performance indicators. So I've just taken each one, that is what I think is more important than the others, and I've put it in there to measure how whether we've achieved our strategic direction or overall management of the plan. We're going to do the quarterly assessment, which is going to be quarterly, which is 4 times, as you can see. To improve the stakeholder relationships, we normally have the, what we call the interactive forums with our stakeholders, which we're planning to have at least 4 in every year. That is 1 in every quarter. To increase the awareness about the activities of the plan, we're planning to go to each province and do the workshop eventually, except the Western Cape, because we don't have training that actually lives in the Western Cape. As you see, we're aiming to have all the provinces by 2012, 2013, 2013, 2014. To enhance the legislative provisions of the Act, we're planning to implement it starting from 2012, 2013. Going into 2013-2014, and to improve governance by appointing the relevant committee members. And the measure there would be the meetings that they are held, and they are meeting according to the terms of reference. On the revenue estimate, you can see that there is a huge jump from 2011-2012 to 2012-2013. Mainly due to the fact that we are focusing that the legislative amendments are going to go through very quickly, that we're going to start to reap the benefits of those amendments by 2012-2013, which is why you see that significant increase. And then we're also focusing that we have finished with our enhancement of the IT systems, which are going to enhance our revenue management, and our organizational structure will be filled, so we'll have people who actually going to help us manage the revenue management. In terms of expenditure, the claims paid are actually, you can see they're growing at a very slow rate, because if the amendment of the Act goes through as we are intending, that is, we change from the lump sum benefits into the pension, it will then mean we'll still pay more or less the same, because we're focusing that we'll reach to more claimants, but we're actually going to be paying them on a monthly basis as opposed to a lump sum benefit. Hence, you're seeing that there we've actually focused about more or less the same because of that movement from a lump sum into the pension scenario. Okay, we're focusing that we're going to have a lot of claimants, we are still going to have a significant growth in our investments, more so when we move from the one-time benefit into the pension system, which then means we're going to have more cash that we can invest, which is why we are actually focusing that our investments actually grow even more, which is why we don't like it when the interest rates are going down, because it affects our returns on our investment. And under accounts payable, it's mainly made up of the provisions, which is mainly made up of the backlog that we currently have. The backlog that we currently have has been accumulating for a period of about 10 years. So it will take a considerable amount of time for us to clear the backlog. So you can see that we are saying it will remain at least constant for the coming 3 years, but it will reduce significantly. But also, it's reducing significantly, but then taking into account that we are focusing 2012, 2013 to have a higher number of claimants. And then we've added in there the additional funding that we actually got for the enhancement of our systems, which are key in terms of our business process re-engineering. That will lead us to reduce the turnaround time in settling of claims, which is something that as the department we are very concerned about. In conclusion, this strategic plan is aiming to ensure that the claimants are paid accurately and efficiently, that the turnaround time of settling claims is reduced, that there is improved governance, and to ensure that the benefit amounts are actually optimal.
Maybe before you come in, we know you are new nurses.
Yes.
And we're very happy that you have been employed. But what I think, I'm not talking on behalf of the nurses.
Mm.
We need to have a deeper understanding of the situation. We know there are mines, and people get paid for working in the mines because there's no protection.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a way of compensating them because they become sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to know, how much do you get from these mines? And we know we're talking about levies and whatnot. How much do you get? And how much do you get from, we are not financial, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you get from the department? And how do you intend, how do you give to people this money? I know you want to change from the lump sum to pension, but let that be clear to us. How is it going to be get? How is it going to get that? I'm asking this question for the sake of the numbers so that we can understand. But at the same time, one tends to think that if this is done well and they've got a good understanding, probably that will reduce the problem of people moving from the rural area to town. And that will improve our health systems, even in those areas, because we'll be looking after them, and it has to be done in the rural area. So that's why I'm asking this question. But maybe Udit is going to help us in explaining those things.
Chair, I will not be able to, but I wanted to put forward something that would help us with how we we deal with the conversation of not only mine workers, but those that have been injured and harmed as a principal. Chair, we have two pieces of legislation that are administered by two different parties. Omidwa, I call it Omidwa.
Or Bimo.
It's under the direct supervision of the Department of Labor. Odinwa is under the direct supervision of the Department of Health. Chair, the Taylor report attempted to propose a mechanism by which there could be some alignment, but also integration of these two different approaches, because they also have their own compensation mechanisms and administrative processes. And I think at some stage we probably need to come to an agreement as to whether we need to integrate, you know, these different processes. So because the provider has been in the system for years and is under the administration of the REMS and mutual and historically it was established mainly from the partnership of labor and employers. So it is for that reason that I think we really need to consolidate the process. Like I said earlier, even with the MDOG, Medical Bureau for Occupational Health Services, as well as putting both of them are running a separate entity. But what the commissioner will also maybe clarify in the presentation and explain how the different funds go is the fact that the revenue basis of CCOD is also determined by the number of mines that have been inspected in terms of the provision of COEDA and what the Department of Labor has established. Now, if we do not have a total number of mines that have been certified and inspected for which revenue should be determined by CCOG, it creates a sort of a fluid environment, and it is for that reason that at some stage we'd like to sit down with them, but maybe look at the recommendations of the Tula report and even suggest that we have another session where the two departments can meet and agree on a strategy. But I'd like to hand over then to the commissioner to answer directly the question. And maybe you can explain how the whole mechanism of this is structured, how it works, how the funds flow, where the revenue comes from, specifically for compensation and also the administrative processes.
Commissioner, before you go on, one thing that you must understand is that you are new, and we as Parliament, we want to understand very clearly so that we know where to monitor, where to go, to monitor what is going on. And I just say there seems to be a lot of confusion in this area. Firstly, the level of labor and health. And if even at that level, the MDOT would decide that this person has got a disease that comes from the mines. And when that person has decided, how do we get to a situation where this person is compensated for the disease that he gets? And then to compound it, there are those who have actually died from these conditions. How do we get to compensate those that have died from working in the mines, developing disease, and the death certificate says this person died of pneumoconiosis, which you clearly say it was related to working in the mines. And there are those who die from TB. The reason they got TB is because they worked in the mines. And because of working in the mines and the immune system, they developed TB and they died from TB. And the death certificate says it's TB, but we know the underlying cause is actually the pneumoconiosis that comes from them. So don't feel certain that we're going to be asking those questions. And it's not only that we are new, but we're going to be asking those questions. I see Arif has got a question. And I'm sure members, we're not going into detail as to what she presents, but we want to understand what is going on. Okay, Arif.
Yeah, Chen, I want to agree with you that I think there needs to be a broader understanding, a more in-depth understanding of how it operates and exactly what it does. And I think once we're able to do that, maybe then we will be able to make a better decision in terms of the comments that you make. From where I'm sitting and from the little that I understand so far, it seems to me that there are some things that the department is doing that maybe as the health department we should not be doing. And unless I'm incorrect, I understand that we should be focusing our attention more on the issues of prevention of diseases and curing and all of that as opposed to dealing with compensation. And that's from the early information that I have now. So I want to support the view that you have, that I think we need to maybe try and understand the details much better in terms of exactly what the roles and functions are.
Thank you, Chairperson. First and foremost, thank you for your presentation, Commissioner. Actually, you've done us a favor by actually telling us that you are coming from private sector, and you are surprised that people in government are not as they should be in line with the Batu Pili principles. So that's a problem. Maybe that's why some of these things are happening the way they are. I think my other query was, having responded that it's not only the Department of Health that funds, that was one question that I had. But there is also a big issue of major, major bureaucracy. The act is quite clumsy, DG and Commissioner, it's very, very clumsy. It needs to be tightened up. And I think before the end of our lifespan here in Parliament, we should have that act. Because really, it costs a it's poor implementation and it being in stress and stress helps people not to get what they should, and it helps people to play that and that. The claims commissioner, are these claims made by the claimants direct, or are they assisted by lawyers? In which case, is there suspicious cases of fraud, even from that angle? Which poses a problem, because we've had a lot of stories, and we've heard that some people have died not having received a nickel. Qualified audit report. I'm glad because we spoke about SCOPA. If it's 10 years, you should not have been to SCOPA and beyond. And I see your turnaround strategy. And I also see that you ain't got enough capacitated personnel. Are you in a process of filling those vacancies? And will you have a way, assisted by the Department of Health, which has got problems of its own, over and above in compensation, to retain those people? You have strategies, and you thought of strategies to retain those people so that they are not pushed out as well. Thank you for now, Chairman. Thank you.
So thanks, Mandy. I see there's a lot of hands from the members, but I don't want us to confuse you. The first area that we wanted to address was for you to explain us to us so that we can understand before we ask questions about your structures and whatnot. But by the look of things, it's as if we are actually encompassing both. We are already going into questions about what you have presented, and at the same time wanting to understand what is going on. Can I request you to do this? When you respond to both. You try and clarify us as to what is happening, and then you go on to the questions as to what is presented. So I'm going to give all the members so that you don't doubt everything, or you get confused on the way.
I was going to ask the chairperson if I can respond to the first three, and then I take the others with the time.
Okay. Let me just ask the member. Members, can we allow her just to make sure that she makes us understand what they are trying to do, and then she goes on to the questions that we want to ask. Okay.
I'll explain it better if you go to slide 18. That is on revenue. Let's start with the revenue first. The tax revenue, slide number 18. The tax revenue on them, that is slide number 8. Are they not numbers? Okay, it's revenue estimate. Okay, that one. It's on there.
How's it heading?
Okay, on the tax revenue.
Okay,
the tax revenue on there, that is the levies that we receive from the mines. That is the levies that we receive from the mines. Currently, we have about 260 mines that are controlled. How is the mine controlled? It gets controlled by the inspectors visiting the mine. And then they look at the dust levels in the mine, and then they say, okay, this is now from today going to be a controlled mine. And then as a commissioner, I put it into the register, and I start collecting the levies from the mine going forward. What in the amendment, what you're trying to address is to say, why can't we have all mines to be controlled and then they come to us, to the court, to the risk committee to say, to give the reasons as to why they shouldn't be controlled instead of going the other way around. So hence we are projecting that huge increase there. So we get that from the ladies from the mines. The non-tax revenue, which is the next line, that is from our interest on investment, which you can see that it's significant, hence I'm always worried about the declining interest rate. The next time to the transfers received, that is the funding we receive from the department, specifically to cover the pension. What then happens is all the administration costs of the CCOB are actually covered by the Department of Health, which is the figure that I alluded to, because this year alone we've got a budget of 18 million just for the current year. For admin. What happens then is, for example, in a case where a minor dies before they get, okay, let's say they have not, no, let me go backwards, sorry about that. Let me go backwards. Every 2 years, a minor has to be inspected whether they don't have a lung-related disease. And then when they do have a lung-related disease, they then get issued a certificate by MBOD, which is the Medical Bureau for Occupational Diseases, which then triggers our process of compensation. In a case where a minor dies before they have actually started the process, they then take the lungs out, then they are sent to NIOH, which is National Institute of for Occupational Health, for Occupational Health Diseases, yes. Where they inspect the lungs and then issue a certificate based on that inspection. So we still compensate you even when you are dead. In terms of our benefits, there is TB where we pay the minor for being in hospital for a period maximum of 6 months. We then pay for the pneumoconiosis and etc., which is always B1. We then pay for TB1 as well, which is just normal TB, but it's only in the first degree. What it means is the lung incapacity is only from 10 to 40%. And then anything that's more than 40%, we actually say it is a second degree compensation. So both these diseases, both the one-time benefit and the TB, can actually progress to what we call a second degree, which we then say your incapacity of the lung is now more than 40%. So we pay according to that. In the case where the minor has already started the process and they die before they see their money, we actually pay the beneficiaries of the minor themselves. What did I answer? Yes, in some cases the claimants are being helped by the lawyers. In some cases the claimants are being helped by what we call the rep. In some cases the claimants actually claim directly. Yes, there is it's not just fraud, which is a concern. The issue there when they use a third party to claim is the fact that they end up taking about 25% of their money that is due to the claimant. For us, that is a concern, which is one of the things which we think we need to address as a matter of principle when we are doing the amendment of the Act itself. Or the post, the filling of the capacity. Yes, we are in the process of filling the vacancies that we have. The challenge that we have, for example, for the finance person, is we couldn't get a qualified, a competent person for the price that you are prepared to pay. So it means I need to go back and upgrade the post before I can actually get
the actual person is actually still in that position itself. So that is another challenge with government, is for the prices that government is prepared to pay, you can't really get very, very competent. You can get people, but not the top of the notch competent people. Yes, some of the bureaucracy.
Maybe can I suggest something?
Yes.
I think the first part was to allow us to understand how we are working. Then the second part was just going to ask some questions.
Yes.
I think now you have made us understand,
mm-hmm.
though I'm sure there's still a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you have all the questions now that have been asked on your presentation, why don't then we allow the members now to ask questions? And then you answer all of them. As I said, there are still a few questions
on
the process. Maybe members, if one can try and summarize what Mamunzi was saying, though there's a lot of questions that I have, it is that here are mines in South Africa, that everyone knows that their dust can cause problems in the land. And now there is a system where those mines are contributing a certain levy towards compensating those people that have that developed those land. And she is talking about a team that goes and assesses a particular mine. They assess that mine and they decide that it has got a lot of dust, so they need to pay a levy. The question is, who are these people who go and make that assessment? But no, you can answer it later.
Okay.
The other area is that those people who become ill, they get examined, and somebody decides that this one is sick, so we need to compensate this person. And in a nutshell, that's what she's trying to give us as to what they are doing. And they've got the money, part of it will come from the government, part of it is coming from the mine. I was just trying to summarize what you are telling us. Now, remember, we've got a start plan that she has given us. Already there are questions that have been asked. Can we go ahead and ask questions? And the others will come later.
Okay, I remember it was Mankenya and Mr.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I've got a lot of questions. I don't even know where to start. Okay. While talking about the issue of mine assessors, chapters, the dust, blah blah blah. I'm not sure. Maybe the first question should be to ask if you're acting or you're permanent and from when. Yeah? If you can answer that for us, because then it will make things simpler for us to understand. Because last time they came it was early 2009 or early 2010. I can't remember exactly. And then there was Miss, I think Makaya or something, that was, and she was a junior, and she was even complaining to say, you know, it's a lot of work, blah, 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 she's acting, and she doesn't receive the allowance, but all those things. So if you can just clarify that, you know, you've been permanent from when, so that then you'll understand if you say some questions you cannot really answer now, you know, something like that. And then, just give us a perspective of the Aurora Mine issue. To say, based on the issue of assessors and the task, not the political version of blah 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 with the owner, the version of saying CCOD's role or the people are supposed to assess, you know, their position and what is happening there or what are the plans that you as the new commissioner, you know, have in terms of Aurora Mine and all that. And then on your situational analysis, you talk about inadequate organizational structure. And then the next one on your strategy, the turnaround strategy, the amendment of the Act. To some extent, when I read this too much, the question arises to say, did you really need it, or was it really, really necessary to amend the Act because of administrative burden that you're talking about, or to rather address the inadequate structure? Because you'll be changing, I mean, amending a legislation is, for me, I think it's a harsh decision if your organizational structure is not functional. So you start with the structure and then you check if the structure that you have will cope with whatever legislation, or even maybe do what they call an assessment to check if, I mean, time changes, you know. We're living in a very modern type of society today. You might need to change legislation, but also make sure that when you change it, it's necessary. There's a lot of things that impact on the need for change. And then when you guys, I'll just say you, because now you're with the department, or when the department came, as I said, early 2010 or late 2009, it was reported that out of 1570 mines that are operating, 1,570 operating in South Africa, only 45 paid the levy. So I just want to understand what is the situation now, to say how many mines we have, how many are paying, and how much is the levy. And then the other question on risk management, during that time it was also reported that there were no, the risk committee actually was not functional for plus minus 2 years. So if you can just give us that to say what is happening now, Commissioner. And I think I also like the fact that you realize and recognize that people in the public sector are very relaxed, and they do have that thing of self-entitlement, and I hope you will change things around for us, or for the nation anyway. And then on the strategic outcome-orientated goals, aligning your department's strategies to the Department of Health priorities, how exactly practical are you going to do this? You know, to say if you talk increasing life expectancy, what is it that you're going to do as CCOG in terms of aligning yourself with the Department of Health? And then your slides are not numbered, so I'm going to take some time because I'm trying to. Okay, the inability to deliver a strategic risk, the inability to deliver an effective and efficient service due to lack of capacity, I think that is something too. But it will be interesting. But anyway, because we're new, that's why I say SLS is tricky. Because I wanted to ask, how long has this been happening and what has been done to date? But you answered that, you know, partly when you answered our week, the week of the committee. How are you going to, yeah. The fraud issue. Fraud by collusion. What is it that you're going to do? This is a very negative practice, and it's growing, whether we plan or not. So what is it that you're going to do drastically, because it impacts on your effectiveness as an organization? The vacancies. My interest was to say what vacancies are, you know, open, how many, and and then the other one was on getting mines controlled. Thank you for the explanation. It sounds like it's an accreditation sort of thing. Okay. But you have maybe a question on that to say, do you have that as a formal thing to say, you know, on a quarterly or whatever? And also to say, you said there is a backlog and the number of claimants are increasing. What is it that you're doing to educate, you know, in terms of occupational health and safety, as a general rule in mines as well, to educate people on how to conduct themselves? Or, I mean, during, I know you do, okay, you do assessments, but do you also, are you pro-education in terms of ensuring that you don't want the end result all the time, waiting for people to claim, but you also have the preventative strategy, you know, to combat the increase in the claim? Okay, I think that's all for now.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I want to ask as many questions as honourable more actually. Just to discuss the backlog, because I've written to the minister a few dozen letters on behalf of individuals who are waiting for finalisation of the application. What is the current backlog? And you say in your report that you want to eradicate, you don't give a time frame of when you want to eradicate the backlog. So can you give us some idea of where you see that going? And currently, from when someone starts an application to when it's finalized, how long is it taking, Kevin? Because the public protector a few years ago did a report into your department and said that it's got to be processed within 6 months. And obviously you're not adhering to that report. It gave you a specific time frame in which you could do it to beef up your organizational skills, which hasn't happened. and it seems that the report's been ignored. So can you just give us some indication of what's happening there? And then also on prevention, I mean, what the Honourable Moray says, and I mean, all these mines where there's a high amount of dust, I mean, surely this day and age, there should be a lot more mechanisms in place and to reduce the amount of dust that miners are actually inhaling at the time. I mean, surely that should be the first priority. So if you just give us an idea about that. Then I'm just going to refer, Chair, if I may, to the SCOPA report. I know you weren't around then, but I'm sure you've read it.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
You need to get a copy. Because, no, seriously, you can make a copy of mine if you like. Because even in here, it says that the Department of Health has not been providing robust oversight. Are they providing robust oversight now? And if so, how they're doing that? And in management's view, the CCOD should fall part of the labour force program, which the DG did mention. But I think we need to know that if the thinking was a few years ago that it should fall part of the labour portfolio, what action has been taken to ensure that? It says that lack of timely effective monitoring of financial activity of the entity due to lack of capacity and skills in the financial sector. Now you have mentioned that you tried to improve somewhat, but you couldn't. But if you look at the report that we received last time you were here compared to now, that the human resources issue or the vacancies has actually increased. Last time you were here, there were 42 positions, of which 35 were filled and 7 weren't. Now there's 50 positions, 50 are filled and 20 are not. That's 40% vacancy rate. And all seems to be at the top end. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, the cleaners and the message and that kind of thing is filled. But not at the top end. And if you look at the vacancies, your position's filled now. The chief director, the director's vacant. Two deputy directors are vacant. The two assistant directors on level 9 are vacant. The senior state accounting officer, vacant. The senior state accountant, the four posts for senior state accountant inspectors, three are vacant. Now these are people that go around to the mines and do the inspection. So I mean, if you only have one person, I mean, already only having four, I don't know how manageable that is. But I mean, only having one person to go to every single mine to measure the dust or whatever they have to do.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can explain that. It seems to be that first of all, that person won't be able to do their job properly, won't be able to reach all the mines, and you won't be as efficient as you could be. So if you could just give us some indication about the perspectives of what's happening. I could go on, but I mean, maybe you get the picture about the vacancy rate. You also mentioned, just quickly on your strategic risks, one that Honourable Moray didn't raise, the political influence. That's quite intriguing. Can you give us some indication of what political influence has been taking place as to what the risks are? And then just back onto the report, Chair, very briefly on page 9 of the report from the SCOPA. And it says here, as far as policy frameworks are concerned, research should be commissioned to determine the actual number of qualifying mines and works in the country. I don't know if that's been done. That was a SCOPA recommendation. Must I repeat that?
Yes, no, I know that.
Okay. Reconciliation of debitors should be prepared in terms of treasury regulation and proper accounting systems to manage debitors and creditors be developed. Has that been done? The oversight and governance, I've just got two more to do, Chair. The health department must implement proper monitoring and oversight. Okay, we haven't mentioned that one, sorry. Health department must establish an audit committee with clear terms of reference to ensure that the activities of the CCOD and the MDOD, but you know, just part of that, are reviewed as required by law. Has that been done? And the internal audit reviews are performed as required. So, no, that's my question, Chair. If we have more time, I'll ask more questions on the report. Recommendations have been implemented. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Commissioner, for the report.
whom, when he is not on duty, he or she is leaving me. Then the other one is you have access to Western Cape. I didn't understand, or I didn't get you clear what was the rationale that Western Cape is being excluded. Maybe you can reiterate again on that. Then I think the last one, because mostly the issue has been raised. I would want to know how is how are you working in the mine? How are you working with the mine? Is there any proper relationship between you, or proper engagement, or proper working together with the mine? The issue of the vacancies has been raised. I think I'm covered there. But I had something. You may in page 17 I just numbered mine, but I could see that the correct. You were talking about to improve the stakeholder relationship. Then you said number of interactive forums. Which are the interactive forums? Then the last one, to improve governance. You say appointment of all committee members. I would like to know who's appointing. What is the procedure of appointing the committee members? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Makenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the explanation. I've got just a few questions now, like some of my questions have been asked, including one that was so fascinated about the conduct. Because if you've got a patient with TB at home, you are exposed to have TB away from you, to conduct that TB. On the heading situational analysis, I think it's bullet 6. We are talking about the Eastern Cape 54 million project. I come from the Eastern Cape, that's why. It's difficult for us to give information to the people when ourselves we don't have information. I think really we tend to ignore the particular principles. Information consultation and your interest also are very important in these issues. Because now I'm thinking of those people who are down there who are always asking questions about this conversation. In my conscious office, I've been asked several questions about this conversation. And now that you have come to explain to us, and I think my question on that, you talked about the poor public perception of the fund. And I also concerned about this information I'm talking about. What strategy, communication strategy we got, so that people down there know what we are saying. Because sometimes these things are on paper. It's difficult for our people to get contact, to know what to do. And knowledge is power. Because if they know, we wouldn't have such a backlog, I think so. Also, because they do not know, as we also don't know some of these things. Yes. I think we need information also, the policy, as Mama Ngobo just said, about the policy that we are acquainted with. Also, on the issue of the low staff morale, it goes back to the question I was also having about the staff rating, the vacancy rate, which Honorable Moria, I don't know if the order they just elaborated on. The vacancy rate is so high. Therefore, you say there's a low staff morale. Have you got any retention or recruitment strategy so as to keep this increase of vacancy rate. Because maybe that's why there are always vacancies. People have got low morale, so they are not retained. So have you got any strategy for that? On the strategic outcome-oriented goals, you talked about, and I'm glad that you talked about these goals, so that we see how far have we gone to 2015 on the MDGs, as it is our target. We are talking about 4, 5, and 6 goals, maternal, decreasing of maternal and child mortality, and also combating HIV and AIDS. So that also rolls back to what we are asking about, the infection, because when you look at the infectious diseases, therefore, we also have a concern. So we want to combat these diseases at all angles. So, as you say that, because you are also concerned about strategic outcome-oriented goals, what strategies have you got, therefore, to see that we really see it, that we are really moving to the decreasing of the stigma of these diseases? I think for now, I'm going to stop because some of my questions have been asked already. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Those are the questions. I think we're sitting for sitting where I'm sitting. There's a problem in the area of the communal or conservation of occupation. And when you are very new, but one hopes that, or what gives hope is that you said you notice that people are very lax in the public sector as compared to the private sector. That gives me a hope that we are going to be doing what needs to be done. I think we just have tea now, and then after tea, you can answer this question. But there are certain things that I just need to mention. There's a question that has been asked about Corona. My understanding of Corona is that people were fired there because they said their mind is going down. Probably that has got nothing to do with occupational disease, but if you want to answer it, you can answer it. But it's a totally different situation. The other one is that there's something that came from Honorable Hussein about prevention. I think it's quite important looking at what causes this problem and what are the minds doing. It's not going to be you who works on prevention, but what are these minds doing to prevent this disease happening? These are some of the questions that are going on. On your strategy, the strategy now comes on the different goals. You not say you are working, this communal strategy has been planned and aligned to the department. If you look at what you're doing, we know we're going to increase life expectancy, and the department is going to do that. We know we're going to decrease maternal and infant mortality. But does that fit in with what you're doing it doesn't. So why don't we have our own? Why don't we have your own sort of goals, even if they are aligned? But the maternal and infant mortality has got nothing to do with you, but the life expectancy, but all the interest, as I understand what is happening, the interest is to make sure that those people that have conducted diseases because of working in the mines, they need to be compensated. That's what they're supposed to be doing, and that's what probably needs to come out here. Not to say we're aligning with the Department of Health, but we are assisting the Department of Health to increase life expectancy, but we're talking about these people that have conducted diseases because of working in the mines. Probably that would be an answer. Or maybe we just took what health is saying. We didn't think of what we need to do as answer. But let's just have tea, and after tea, your hands can come after tea. Is it really urgent?
That is, yeah. Sorry, Chairperson, let me clarify you why my question about Aurora. We're speaking about people assessing whether people have been inhaling dust, isn't it? And these people have just been retrenched, no problem. But what is going to happen to them? The inspectors, are they still going to inspect these people? Because what is the point of somebody being retrenched and not inspected to see what damage has the type of work that this person has been doing, you know, has done? Because, I mean, we're talking about people, they are not vessels. They need to be checked, because even if you are retrenched, unless I'm wrong, even if you are retrenched, because if you are dead, they do inspect your lungs. Why not if you are retrenched? To see how far damage has been done. And then maybe...
I'm going to ask questions that will come to you.